Good evening and welcome to Atlantic Tales on Clare FM. This week we visit East Clare to hear from the co-founders of Savage Cabbage, a fermented food business established during the COVID pandemic. Savage Cabbage is a fermented food business that specializes in raw, vegan-friendly products. The venture was established by Mercedes Kevel and Rory Guyett during the COVID pandemic. The couple use traditional fermentation methods, resulting in a product packed with gut-healthy probiotics. Mercedes had run her own food business before joining forces with Rory to set up Savage Cabbage. Mercedes Kevel is co-founder of the business.
I was born in Wales and I lived there until I was 12. And then my mum moved over with me and my sisters to East Clare into Mount Shannon. And we lived for the first year on the campsite there, which was great as a kid. It's just on the lake and we lived in a mobile home and there was a tennis court and loads of spaces to go and run and hide and play. But so that was our first introduction of Ireland. And when I was in Wales, I actually went into a secondary school in Wales and had a very hard time. And so when we moved over and went to this new school, the Steiner School, it was a completely different scene for me and was exactly what I needed. And I went from being bullied to suddenly having all of these people that wanted to be my friend. And the method of teaching was just amazing. And we had loads of projects, everything was so hands-on and it just didn't really feel like school. And I came from a secondary school that was the complete opposite. It was like all academic, textbook. So it was a real wonderful change. And then I was only in there for 2 years before I went into Scariff Secondary School. But I had a solid core group of friends then. And so yeah, I felt very lucky.
Well settled.
Yeah.
What were your interests though growing up? What were you into?
What was I into growing up? I loved sports when I was younger, but when we moved over to Ireland, that I kind of lost it. But I was into competitive swimming. Yeah, I've always loved drawing, reading, always an avid reader. So I guess those were my interests. And then we finished school and I moved to Galway and studied holistic therapies, which is actually where I was first introduced to nutrition. One of the modules was nutrition. And out of all the subjects, that got me. And I suddenly became very, very interested in what I was eating, because I definitely wasn't interested in it before and didn't have the best of diets growing up. Definitely had a major sweet tooth, which I still have. But that was when I first was opened up to the world of nutrition and healthy eating.
So that module in a course that wasn't totally related to nutrition,
yeah,
kind of prompted you in the right direction. But why were you so interested in nutrition?
I was having trouble, I guess, I was tired all the time and I just didn't feel very good. And as a young person, I just didn't really understand why, because I was young and invincible. And suddenly I was reading about, oh, you're supposed to have all of these vitamins and minerals and nutrients and you are supposed to eat vegetables. And actually it does greatly affect how you feel. So I just changed my diet and my whole world changed with it. So that's what started my passion, I guess.
That module was a stepping stone to what you're doing now.
Yeah.
But did you ever think then that you would be taking that extraordinary leap from an interest to a business?
Not at the time. I was happy working in the service industry and worked in different restaurants and cafes, and I was working for a recruitment company, so I got to experience lots of different businesses and I actually really enjoyed that. But my mother is quite strong-headed, and looking back on it now, I can see my sister is the same. She also runs her own business, two of my sisters actually, and we're all very independent people. And I decided that, yeah, I wanted to work for myself and I wanted to do something that I really believed in, because working for other people is fine, it's great, but at the same time, you're just working for somebody else's dream. And I wanted to work for my own. And so I started my first business, which was a nut butter business. And it was aimed, again, it was aimed at healthy eating. What could people have in their diet that tasted really good, that would be nutritionally beneficial to them, rather than just reaching for that chocolate bar, which was my problem.
But setting up your own business, was that difficult?
Yes. I mean, the whole process of doing, starting your own business is difficult. But I didn't really think about it. I just dove straight into it. And I was just like, that's what I want to do. So I'm going to do it.
And was that, I wonder, and I have to ask you, was that the strong-headedness you might have inherited from your mother?
Yeah, absolutely. Because in hindsight, especially at the time, I just had my baby and I don't know, you can blame hormones or whatever, but I was mad to just get on with things. And so, yeah, I started that business. And it was very, very hard doing it alone, for sure. Really, really hard. I love doing it and I love the challenges. I'd get bored quickly if I'm given the same task to do all of the time. So with having your own business, something always pops up. It's constantly changing. So I love that aspect of it. So yeah, I started with that and went on with that for a few years and it was going well, and then COVID hit. But during that time, about 6 months before COVID happened, I'd actually started doing a local delivery service, and I was delivering not only my nut butters and dried goods, I had also started making fermented foods, and I was getting really into it. I was like loving what I was making, and you know, quite often there would be like epic fails, but that comes part and parcel with making fermented foods in particular. You've got to try and trial and error constantly, and sometimes you'll just get onto the right thing. And so yeah, I started really getting into that, and I had just started adding it to the local delivery when COVID hit, and all of a sudden my local foods delivery service just kicked off, because of course people couldn't go shopping and they couldn't see people or go out, and that became very, very busy. And of course as well, people started suddenly really paying attention to what they were eating, because everybody wanted to be in optimum health because for fear of getting sick. So the fermented foods side of that really escalated very, very quickly.
Studying nutrition as a module in college, you had that leg up, you had that experience, you had that knowledge that you could bring to your business. Yeah. Was that a huge help?
Absolutely, yeah. It just gave me the understanding behind what I was producing and the knowledge that what I was making was very, very good for you. And you know, research, particularly with the fermented foods, like there's constant research emerging that's just backing this up over and over again, that fermented foods really, really should be included in everybody's diet, whether it's even a tiny amount or whether it's a different types or whatever. People should just try and get a bit in, because we have this whole gut microbiome which is responsible for between 70 to 90% of our immune system. So yeah, it's a big deal.
And is it difficult to persuade people that fermented food is good for you? Or had you seen that people had an interest anyway?
I would say now, compared to even 5 years ago, there is a huge difference. We are at the milk market every week, and the willingness for people to try is just so there. And people are really enthusiastic, whether they have never tried them before or have never even heard about them before. Whereas a few years ago, if you'd have said, yeah, there's this live food product, do you want to try it? A lot of people would have been like, nope, no thank you. Because, you know, we've been taught that bacteria is bad, and quite simply, that is just not the full story. And we have bacteria in us, on us, all around us, and most of it is actually good. Of course, there's pathogenic bacteria and you have to be careful and watch out for that. But yeah, we need it to survive. We need them.
And were you able then to set up your new business in the same space that you had the old business, or had you to make alternative arrangements?
Yeah, we definitely had to make alternative arrangements. And that's when Rory's parents offered us this kitchen to start up. So myself and Rory sat down and just really during that long lockdown, and had a serious talk about where we were going, because I was tired of the nut butter business. It's incredibly hard work to do by yourself. Rory had just lost both of his jobs and had moved back down to Clare. And so we were just kind of in this space where we'd I guess, had the time to be creative and have the time to actually think, like, what do we see in our future? And what do we see in our future together? And so, yeah, we decided we'll make it a thing. We'll start the fermentation business and I'll quit the nut butter business and we'll focus purely on that. And that's where it started.
Setting up your own business and looking to the future and then doing that in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment.
Yeah. Again, like looking back, I'm like, oh, it's probably a little bit crazy. But yeah, we're here now and it's really taking off. And we initially started as a wholesaler, doing local delivery and wholesaler. We wanted to target restaurants and cafes and make it more readily available to those types of clients and just get it out into the public in a very easy way. We did that for a while and we then decided that actually we had our name, we had our brand, but people didn't really know about us or know who we were. So the kimchi was very popular with the people that knew about it. So we decided to go retail with that jar. And we spent a good few months at the beginning of last year perfecting the jar and getting the label sorted and all of the technicalities that go with making a product, a retail product. Then we launched that in April. And since then, like, it's just taken off. So it was absolutely the right move.
And actually making what you are producing here, do you have to have special training? Are you using your own recipe? Are you using traditional recipes?
I came up with the recipes myself and we have a proper formula now. To the best of our ability, we stick to it. But the nature of fermented foods are that every single batch is different. So there may be slight variations in taste and there are lots of control measures that go with fermenting, like time and salt content and heat. And so each of those is slightly different every time we ferment. Well, the time and the heat, we could try to control to the best of our ability. But so yeah, each batch is different, but we have a solid formula and is pretty consistent. And I'm very happy with how consistent it is, given the nature of the type of food that we work with.
I suppose if you're talking about a big factory process, they have it so perfect. Yours doesn't have to be perfect.
No, it doesn't. I feel like making fermented foods, you're like working with potions, and so it's very fun to play around with. And so we make seasonal ferments as well, and we sell those at the market in small quantities, and with those we can play around with and experiment and add in different flavors. But with the kimchi jar that we're selling retail to shops, we've made the decision to try and keep it as consistent as possible, because that's what people like when they buy a product and they like it, and they're familiar with it. To change it up too much puts people off to a degree. But with the small batches of seasonal ferments, yeah, we absolutely have the base to play around with, and people know when they're coming to buy, oh yeah, this is special or this is slightly different, and that's what they're buying when they come to the store.
What about your market research? It's one thing believing that people want to change their diets, but you want to reach beyond those people and maybe convert other people. What did you do in terms of market research?
Well, I looked into how the sector was growing, and I can't remember the numbers now, but it was growing at an incredibly fast rate. And also, we live in a country that are experts at growing cabbages. So it was a no-brainer in some senses, because with the nut butter, I had to import the nuts. But with this project, we can try and source local organic cabbages wherever possible. And that's what we try to do. It's not always possible, of course. And now that we're growing, we have more set numbers of how many cabbages or how the quantity of cabbages that we're using each month or each year. So this year, I think that's going to be a big focus for us, is to try and reach out to organic growers in Ireland that can supply us with vegetables for as much of the year as possible.
Okay, we might step inside, have a look at your workspace if we can. You mentioned cabbage, so you're giving the clue there. What exactly then is kimchi?
So kimchi is a fermented food. It is a lacto ferment, lacto from lactobacillus, which is the same type of bacteria that's present in milk and was, I believe, first discovered in milk. And that type of bacteria, along with other species, are already present on vegetables. And what you're doing when you're fermenting kimchi or sauerkraut, you are just creating an environment where that beneficial bacteria can flourish and grow, and pathogenic or bad bacteria cannot. So essentially, it is controlled decay, and you are just controlling what grows and what doesn't.
Before we talk about the actual production process, let's talk about your raw materials, what you're using and where you're getting them from, of course, as well.
For the sauerkrauts, they're mainly cabbage base or carrots, and for a lot of the year we are able to source local organic cabbages and carrots. And when we can't source them locally, we have a couple of suppliers that source them from Europe, but they are always organic and very easily obtained. Then with the kimchi, we have our main three ingredients are Chinese cabbage, daikon and carrots. If you have a look in here, this is our sauerkraut. You might hear it bubbling away.
Your weight's on top as well, so that's part of the process.
Absolutely, because when the vegetables are fermenting, they produce carbon dioxide and the vegetables like to rise and try to escape. So we have to keep weights down on them to keep them submerged, and they have to be this like liquid layer on top. This is brine.
Yes.
And so the vegetables are kept underneath that, and that keeps them safe and in the environment that we want them to be in. So we have a variety of containers. We started off with this small little one, which is 5 kilos, and now we have 10 kilo ones, 15 kilo ones, 20 kilo ones, and then we have our stainless steel.
The big one in the corner.
The big one, which is the one we use to make kimchi, which is 120. liters, and we're probably going to need to get another one of those soon.
The containers themselves, then, they're not plugged in, so what's happening inside is happening naturally?
Yeah, so it's all a natural process, what some would refer to as wild fermentation, where we are just creating an environment for the microbes and bacteria to grow, and that process is happening naturally. We're not inoculating, which would be to add from a previous batch. We just allow what the bacteria that are already present on the vegetables to proliferate and grow. We also have an oak barrel outside. That was also one of the ones when we like properly got into it or decided to go for it. We bought a 50 kilo oak barrel, and I love the oak barrel. I think it's got so much character to it. So yeah, we still use that sometimes.
It's obvious that it might seem savage cabbage. Where did that come from?
Oh my God, it was a phrase that definitely I remember using so often as a young adult and a teenager. It was just one of those things that we just said all of the time. And then when we were like talking about changing, starting up the business, going through names, and I still use it. I still say savage, and suddenly it was just like savage cabbage. It was just, and that was it. There couldn't be any other name after that.
But you have to get it right at the same time, but it does work.
Yeah, it works. We get a lot of laughs from our customers. And even from people who aren't customers, they love the name. And yeah, it just goes so well with what we do, which is work with cabbages all the time.
So. And where's your market? You mentioned the milk market. Do you do other markets? And what is your broader market in terms of shops or wholesale?
Yeah, we do the milk market every Saturday. We do one other market, our local market in Mount Shannon, which is monthly. It's a really lovely little market, and we have a great many supporters there. We do really well there, and it's also really lovely to just be part of the community and catch up with people. And then also we have, as I mentioned earlier, started supplying lots of shops in the last year, mainly with the kimchi, and our market for that is nationwide. And so, yeah, as we grow, we want to get into as many, mainly health food shops or artisan shops as possible, but also we're open to anybody who wants to take it.
Coming up, we'll hear more about the production process and meet the other half of Savage Cabbage, co-founder Rory Guyett. Welcome back to Atlantic Tales. Savage Cabbage is a fermented food business that specializes in raw, vegan-friendly products. The venture was established by Mercedes Kevel and Rory Guyett during the COVID pandemic. The couple use traditional fermentation methods, resulting in a product packed with gut-healthy probiotics. After our chat outside in the gorgeous East Clare countryside, Mercedes and I went inside where she and Rory had been working on batches of kimchi.
We mix all of our ingredients together. This one, for example, this is our yellow sauerkraut. It's mainly white cabbage base, and then we add turmeric and scallions and coriander seeds and a little bit of garlic. And once we've done all that, we then add the correct amount of salt and put it into this container and leave it in a warm room for a set amount of days, and I just allow the process to happen naturally. And what will happen is it will start its proper fermentation after about 24 hours, and it will start to produce carbon dioxide and bubble. And as the days go by, it will get louder and bubble a lot more. And then slowly the bubbling will stop. And that is the indicator for us that the fermentation process is getting to the point that we are happy with. And then for this one, we ferment this for about 2 weeks, and we use our senses firstly to see if it's done, see if it smells good, if it tastes good, if it looks good. And then we test the pH, and that's an important factor. The pH has to be below a certain point, 4.7, and that makes it a safe food product to eat. And that's one of the main things about these fermented foods. They're actually one of the safest foods to eat on the planet, because not only do they have an acidic environment, which essentially prevents other pathogenic bacteria from growing, but they also contain loads of other competing beneficial bacteria. So this was the primary method of food storage before we had fridges, and that has been forgotten, but we are beginning to remember.
The time scale from the moment you chop up your big head of white cabbage here on the table to packing the jars,
yes,
what's the time process roughly?
So it varies with each product. We ferment the sauerkrauts for about 2 weeks and the kimchi for about a week, depending on your temperature and salt content. You could actually ferment them for months, but that's not sustainable for our business. And so, yeah, we have them in rooms of about 18 to 21 degrees. So the sauerkraut is 2 weeks and the kimchi is about 7 days.
Do you supply shops, restaurants, cafes? Who are your main customers?
All of the above. So yeah, we supply shops with our retail jar, and we're in mainly in Limerick and Clare and Galway, but we are also in other counties across the country, and we're slowly spreading bit by bit, or quite quickly now. But yeah, then we also supply cafes and restaurants bulk, and that is also going really well. That was initially the first part of our business, and since we've launched the retail jar, that sector has also grown because people are now hearing about us a lot more. And yeah, we just want to make sauerkraut and kimchi or fermented foods more readily available to people who would like to serve them but don't, you know, either have the time to produce them or don't have the knowledge. So we just that's our product.
Rory Guyot is a musician, but also the other half of Savage Cabbage, setting up the business with his partner Mercedes at the height of a global pandemic. Mercedes always had an interest in food and nutrition, while Rory was introduced to kimchi during a trip to Korea and developed a love of fermented food. The couple had attended the same school when they were younger, but went their separate ways before joining forces years later to establish Savage Cabbage.
So I originally was born in the UK, in Berkshire, just outside of London. And then my parents moved us over here in about 95, just before my fifth birthday. So I've been here nearly 30 years now. We're in East Clare, just kind of between Feakle and Cahir. So yeah, I moved here very young. Then I started going to school in the Steiner School, up just past Tungrani. Both Mercedes and I went there, and we were in the same class, actually. So then I finished up there, and I loved that, absolutely loved it. Something that really resonated with me going there was they really focused on creativity, and I grew up with a massive interest in music. So I started playing drums when I was about 12, got really into that, and then started a band. And that was a huge, huge part of my life growing up, all until now, so I still do that when I can. I have got a studio as well, but I think I really got a spark for the creativity and the music, also from my parents being really into music. But, you know, going to the Steiner School, I think, helped me to like encourage that, you know. And then from there, I went on to school in Villiers in Limerick. So I was a boarder there. I love that as well, to be honest. We recently went back and did a Christmas market there. So I saw a load of my old teachers, and for the first time in like 15 years or longer. And it was really, really nice. The place looked the same but different. But I had great memories from all my school years, both places. After that, then I moved up to Galway, and I did a music tech course up in GTI. That was only a one-year course, and I lived in Galway for a long time then. Mainly music was my main passion at that time, so I was traveling around with my band a lot, playing in Ireland, playing, touring in the UK quite often, went to Europe a couple of times. That's really like a big, big part of my life. And then I moved to Japan then for a while in about 2018. For a little while, my ex-partner was from there. But when I went to Japan, I visited Korea on the way, and kimchi, which is the main thing that we make in our business, is originally from Korea. And I just fell in love with kimchi and from other fermented foods when I was living abroad. But that visit to Korea really sparked the interest and really got my juices flowing for it, you know.
But Rory, growing up and in school, what were you thinking towards when you were in school?
Yeah.
Was it all music?
It was all music for me, really. At that time, I didn't really think too far ahead. I knew that I loved to play my instrument, and I was very obsessively focused with working on that. So I just was, all I wanted to do at that time was just be a drummer. You know, I had these young dreams, like a lot of young musicians, of I want to be a rock star, blah, 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 you know. And then you grow older and you realize realities of life, and also the music that I was playing, very niche, heavy music. And I think in Ireland, it's hard to make a career out of that style, you know. And that's fine, you know. The main reason I did it was because I really love it, and it's the
Why
passion.
The drums? I wonder, were you angry with somebody?
Oh, maybe. I had a temper as a child, that's for sure. And I definitely found that when I started playing the drums, I calmed way down. And honestly, even to this day, it's very therapeutic. Yeah.
But even in school, no thoughts towards the business world? Had you any business acumen, anybody in the family, any interest in business?
So my mother is a herbalist, and my whole life I've grown up watching her run her own business. She had her own practice in the UK before we moved here, and then when we moved to East Clare, she's been running her business the whole time, and is a massive inspiration to me, for sure. She's still working as hard as ever, and I don't think she'll ever stop because it's her passion. But for myself, I don't know. I think I got to a certain point, maybe in my mid-20s, where I started to think, you know what, I'd rather do something for myself. And I was, all through my like early adulthood, I worked for a lot of other people, mainly in the service industry, around when I was doing my music work, bars and restaurants, coffee shops. You know, I love doing that. I love speaking to people, and I worked for some amazing people, but I really realized that I wanted to be in charge of my own time and create something of my own that I could really stand behind, that was to do with something I was really passionate about. So yeah, Mercedes and I both shared that, so that's why we started what we were doing.
But obviously that spark in Korea.
I was only there for a week, but every place that we ate, we were given kimchi, or we ordered kimchi. And I have a very good friend who I lived with in Galway for a while, who's from Korea. and she taught me a little bit about it and piqued my interest. But then I went, after visiting Korea for that 1 week, I then went to Japan, and I've been there multiple times, but after that I went to live for a while. So I started to just buy it every single week at that stage. And, you know, I have this massive also background in being really interested in food and coffee. And I worked as a barista for a long time in Galway and for a little time in Japan. And I've done some catering work, stuff like that. So I've got a massive interest in food. So this one little area of that got me like down the rabbit hole. And the thing that really got me into it personally was the taste and like how you could use it for all these things.
But then setting up a business.
Yeah.
You wanted to be your own boss. You wanted to do your own thing. Did you always think you would be in the food industry?
I would say no. No, I honestly, I don't think I had a very clear picture of what I was going to do, which is, you know, it's a common problem for a lot of younger people. They come out of school and they don't know what they'd want to do, and maybe they go down one route and it works out, but it might not be really what they're passionate about. I always had the passion for music and food, and I kind of just went out and tried to do those things. But then I moved back from Japan, and then I moved back to Galway again and started working in the service industry again. I was working in a wine bar and a coffee shop. And then COVID hit and I lost all of my work, being in a shared house in Galway with some friends. And I thought, I don't want to stay here. I'll be trapped. It was a small house, no, like a tiny little garden. And I grew up here in East Clare with like forests and open fields and blessed to have this beautiful countryside around us. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to Clare. I was originally planning to come and move back in with my parents here. But Mercedes and I had like gotten together about 6 or 7 months before then. And we've known each other for 20 years because we were in school together and we've been friends all the way through. We both kind of were, you know, talking about what are we going to do. She was already running her own food business before that, but she didn't want to continue with that. So we just both thought, you know, let's do something together that's our own that we can build. And that was it. That was the spark, really. Yeah.
So you had the idea, but then you have to implement your plan. Where did you start?
Well, yeah, that was the thing. So Mercedes was already making fermented foods at home, and she had come to be interested in them and make them herself from a completely different angle from me. But we both had the interest, and we thought, what can we do that we're both into? So we came up with this idea, let's do a fermentation business, mainly with kimchi, because kimchi is such an amazing food. It's delicious, it's so good for you, and it's starting to become more popular in this part of the world. It's really on the rise. So we just started in lockdown, really. We just thought, okay, let's start locally. Let's just do it really simple. We'll just do a simple local delivery service for our local community, really. And that's what we did. We just took orders either just on the phone. We got a website together. And then we were just delivering once a week. And that took off in lockdown so well for us. It was amazing. And it was really nice to be, you know, supplying local people with a healthy food during that time. And I think, you know, a lot of people were really focused on healthy food at that time. So that was like our start. And we'll never forget that. You know, we got such great support from so many local people. We're really grateful. And since then, we've just grown in lots of different directions. You know?
And is it because you knew that people were more interested in healthier food that you believed that you'd have a market for your product?
Yeah, I mean, that was never in doubt in our minds. We were certain that because of the health benefits of the food and also the taste of it too, we just knew, especially around here, there's a lot of people who are very conscious about their health. And I mean, there is everywhere, really, you know, but you know, I grew up with my mother as a herbalist, and in this area, which is a more alternative medicine, right? But I think the original way to look after yourself is what you eat, you know? So it's something that we're both passionate about, particularly Mercedes. So we really had no doubt, you know, we knew people around, people in East Clare, some people that we know already kind of knew a little bit about fermentation, and Sadie got started learning about it from some of our neighbours. Yeah.
Coming up, we'll hear how sustainability is so important to Mercedes and Rory's business and what the future holds for Savage Cabbage. Welcome back to Atlantic Tales. Today we're in East Clare with Mercedes Kevill and Rory Guyot, a young couple who established a new business during the COVID lockdowns. using organic, locally sourced ingredients wherever possible. They believe their business should have a positive impact on the environment and local community. Savage Cabbage supports local farmers and businesses and offers a returnable jar, bottle and tub system to reduce waste and promote sustainability. Sustainability was always in the back of their minds when they were establishing their fermented food business. Mercedes Kevill is co-founder of Savage Cabbage.
We wanted to start a business that was sustainable in the sense that, like, I'm really very passionate about making as little negative impact as possible on our surroundings and on our environment and businesses in general. It's a hard thing to do, but with our food product, you know, we can do our best to buy the ingredients from nearby, and then the waste, we compost all of our food waste. It doesn't go into landfill. It gets turned into soil, which we then reuse in our own garden. Then we also offer, with all of our products, both wholesale and retail, that people can return the tubs and the jars. And that again reduces the waste, and it just saves money, it saves time, it saves mileage as well. And glass is very heavy. It's also very expensive, and we import our glass that comes from Europe. And then, so all of these little tiny things, I believe, all add up to having a positive impact eventually. And in a way, I believe that we are having a positive impact by encouraging, like, local farmers to grow for us. And because I'm very passionate about organic as well, wherever possible. Now, we don't have an organic certification because some of the ingredients in the kimchi, we cannot source organically all year round. It just simply is that way. But we do, to the best of our ability, source organic food.
You also host fermentation workshops. Yes. What's that all about?
So essentially, we teach people how to ferment their own produce or vegetables at home. And I came about doing it years ago, completely unintentionally. A friend of mine who knew I was madly into fermenting just asked me, would I teach a fermentation workshop? Somebody had pulled out, and I just, as I do, just say, yeah, sure. And dove straight into it and have been doing it ever since. And I absolutely love it. I love everybody. Everybody's so passionate when they come and do it. And first of all, they may be tentative because, you know, fermentation is this unknown thing, potentially scary. But by the end of the workshops, everybody's just smiling and they've made their own thing. And I think it's really important that people can do this at home if they want to. And just, yeah, making it accessible to people.
Is the interest there? Do people want to make their own?
Yes, it absolutely is. Our workshops, we've done 3 this year so far in this space, which is cozy. Yeah, they've been great, and we'll be putting a bunch more dates up very soon. But yeah, the interest is very much there.
So you're standing up there, you see the enthusiasm. Are they good to ask questions?
Yes. So one of my policies is ask as many questions as you want, and I answer to the best of my ability. And it's really good because they, you know, I have the notes, but I find hands-on is the best method with this type of thing. So yeah, we make sauerkraut, we make kimchi, and yeah, it's just an open-ended ask whatever you want, whenever you want. And it's great because people, you know, all have like similar questions going on, and maybe I've forgotten to mention something and then somebody asks about it. And so yeah, lots of questions.
You mentioned earlier, Rory, that you were in school together all those years ago and you've been friends ever since, but now you're in business together.
Yes.
You never saw that coming.
Definitely not, no. It was a bit of a surprise to both of us. We've been friends over the years for, yeah, as you say, 20 years. And then, you know, we just kind of fell into what we're doing now. We've both just found that we've both shared the passion for it. And at the same time, really because of COVID, which sparked it, we realized we wanted to figure out something and work together. And we've both got different strength. You know, Sadie's got so much knowledge on fermentation and nutrition and stuff, and I kind of bring a bit more from the customer side and sales, that kind of thing. So like, we're both learning from each other all the time and figuring out what we're good at, which is a journey and an experience. You know, every week we probably learn something new about ourselves and each other, hopefully.
That's part of it, yeah. Mercedes, as well. It is a journey, and you have a long journey ahead. I know you have plans for the future and all of that, but is, as they say, the old cliche, is every day a learning day?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, something always comes up, and we are constantly learning. One of the things we are trying to learn now is proper time management. That's an ongoing challenge. And I think it probably will continue to be as we grow and change. But yeah, every day we learn something new.
What about the future then?
So it's a nice you said cozy earlier, this space, it looks like you will need more space because the business is doing so well. But what are the plans for the future?
So the plans for the future are to grow. Like, our main thing at the moment is probably the retail with our kimchi. And our production facility is small and cozy. So I think this year we're going to be looking at trying to upgrade to a bigger kitchen, maybe build something at home and try to do that sustainably if we can, would be great. But we need more space to make more. But definitely the retail, like, we've got our kimchi with our label that we're really happy with, but we've also got our other flavors of sauerkraut, which we'd like to get those ready to bring into the retail sector as well, get the labeling done and do some work on the branding there. Whether we'll be able to do all at once or just one at a time, we'll see. But there's definitely a demand from some of our current stockists for more of our flavors, so we're going to try and work on that in the next few months. But yeah, finding the time to, we've got so many plans and ideas, but finding the time for them is the challenge, you know.
Isn't that always the way? And Mercedes, do you listen to the obviously you listen to your customers, but do your customers come to you at times with ideas or suggestions or a flavour they would like to have?
I got stuck chatting to a champion organic cabbage grower a couple of weeks ago at the market, and we were chatting for about 20 minutes. So it was really nice to speak to somebody else who is very passionate about cabbages. But he gave me a really nice recipe idea, so I am going to try and give that a go. There's something else that I wanted to add to it, which I thought would be really nice. But yeah, having the time to be creative is hard, but it's something that we have been talking about this quite a lot recently, that we just need to factor it into our schedule, because it's very important to not forget that side of things, which is one of the big reasons why we came into this in the first place.
We want to grow the business, but we don't want to grow it way too big. You know, the ethos of creating our raw fermented foods is really important to us, and trying to use as many local ingredients as possible. So, you know, I think it could be very, not easy, but possible for a business to grow to a factory level. Not saying that we could or will, but, and then forget some of those important factors.
We don't want to skimp on quality.
Exactly. All the what's important from the...
Yeah.
At the moment, though, it's just the two of you.
It's just the two of us. We do all the production, all the admin, all the deliveries. And the further we're spreading distribution-wise, the more challenging it's getting. You know, like, we're doing all the deliveries on our own, and we are shipping some of our boxes out as well to further afield. And that has its own challenges with it, you know, with reliable couriers. You know, also in the summer months, shipping a fermented product, it needs to stay cool, really. So we only really started shipping in the winter time. So we'll see what happens in the summer. We'll have to try and come up with some solutions for that. But, you know, if we get a new kitchen built, the ideal scenario is that we find somebody else who can help us, who's equally passionate about fermentation. Maybe try and employ somebody just to start with, to help us with the production, and then go from there, because our time is getting taken up by so many more things with the admin and communication and deliveries. We did recently just get our first application for a job from a woman we've never met before. Unfortunately, it was not possible for us right now, but that was nice to get, you know.
Yeah, the plan is down the line to employ a small number of people, and to definitely try and have one or two people helping with the production, and then the admin side of things, and even the social media side of things. So that is the end goal, is to have a really good team working with us who also believe in what we're doing.
And is it important, because you mentioned earlier that if you're doing the same thing over and over, you get bored. Is it important that you have a plan that you have the future mapped out for yourself so you don't get bored.
Yeah, I think it's always good to have a plan, whether that plan gets followed through or not. It's always good to plan and have a sense of direction. And yeah, plans change, that's part of life. But yeah, to know where we're going, I think, is very important.
Last year, we kind of planned out a lot of months in advance, especially with launching our retail kimchi. And we kind of fulfilled what we were looking to do last year. And this year, we've kind of just been like going along, continuing on that, because we've been getting busier and busier with more clients. So at the moment, we're thinking a lot about like, okay, we need to plan out the next stage of our business. And I think it's really crucial that every year or every few months, we look really far ahead and, you know, write down what it is that we want to achieve and try and get there. We have to do that just from a production point of view as well, because with the fermentation taking time and storage and everything, we have to look, you know, 5-6 weeks in advance constantly with ordering vegetables as well. So, you know, looking forward on the short term is really important, but on the long term, you know, our plans evolve the more things change. You know, we could achieve something that we set out to do and then not do something else, but then realize, oh, it's probably better that we didn't achieve that. We might be going in a better direction. You know, being adaptable and evolving as the environment does and the market does is really important. And that's something we learned from the beginning. We, you know, we had a more singular idea in the very beginning, and we've expanded, and, you know, being open-minded, I think, is something to keep present all the time.
And Mercedes, when you start, you had your own business, of course, before this, but starting a new business in the middle of COVID, did anybody roll their eyes, say you were mad?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're pretty isolated during COVID, to be honest. I think people already knew that I was a bit cracked because I'd already started my other business after having a baby. So yeah, they were just, I don't think we got any lashback, really, to be honest. Lots of encouragement.
Yeah.
Overall.
So. Yeah.
Was it the ideal time during COVID to start a business, do you think?
Yeah, I do. Because there was just this ample amount of time to be creative, really.
I think it afforded so many people the opportunity to think about what it was that they're doing. And especially for us, because we weren't stuck in the city. You know, I personally would consider myself one of the lucky people from what happened during COVID. You know, a lot of people suffered a lot and it was horrible, you know, isolation and mental health. But I came away from being in the city, came back to where I grew up, and in this peaceful environment, you know, it's hard not seeing your friends and family, but it really gave us the time to think about what it is that we want to do with our lives, where are we going, and, you know, when are we ever going to have that opportunity again to really take stock and have that much time? It probably won't ever happen, you know? So that was a blessing, I think.